You're listening to Inward with Rabbi Joey Rosenfeld on the Sheffa Podcast Network. Join Rabbi Joey as he guides us through the world and major works of Kabbalah, Hasidic masters, and Jewish philosophy, shedding light on the inner life of the soul.
Okay, so Be'ezras Hashem, just an idea that I spent some time thinking about over Tisha B'Av, which I think is going to be valuable, applicable to our lives as we find ourselves right now. But looking at the introductions that the Arizal brings to us at the very beginning of Eitz Chaim, we're able to identify a two-step process, a two-step dance, or a dual pulsation, which is really a singular movement, which represents the origination and the process and the eventual unfolding of all of existence, of all of being, of all of creation, and most importantly, of our experience in this world as we experience it in our own minds, hearts, and bodies as it is right now. That prior to the decision of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kavyachol to create the world, so the world was saturated. The entire space or potential space for existence was saturated with the infinite and unending light of the Ribono Shel Olam, referred to as Or Ein Sof. Once we have, as the first postulate, that the infinite light of HaKadosh Baruch Hu saturates everything and fills and surrounds all things to the degree that there's no room for anything else, then we enter into the first step of the dance that the Arizal gives us, which is the possibility of space. The possibility of space is what's referred to as the Tzimtzum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Metzamtzem himself, contracted, concealed, removed, hid, expressed a certain element of himself, depending on which tzaddik's understanding of the Tzimtzum we're going with. Tzimtzum is always a singular idea that brings about a singular outcome, but the ways in which tzimtzum is understood is going to be unique and singular to each and every tzaddik and their base medrash. But the tzimtzum was a creation of a voided space, a halal, an empty space. Now, the word halal comes from the same etymology as chilul, as something that is desanctified, profaned, something that is no longer filled with holiness. As Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in his Nefesh HaChayim, that the biggest void in reality is when a person encounters a chilul Hashem, which is the notion that God is not present in this moment or in this place. Chalal also is the language of a dead body, a corpse that is devoid of life, because either way we strike it, the chalal gives birth to a sense of emptiness in need of fulfillment. It is a cravenous space of yearning and desire that seeks sustenance from outside itself. The first step of creation was the Ribono Shel Olam creating a halal. The next step of creation was the re-emergence of the infinite light back into that vacant space. But instead of returning the same amount of infinitude, which would simply negate the voided space that was created in the original infinitude's absence, HaKadosh Baruch Hu re-enters a ray of infinite light, a kav or ein sof, that comes down and it saturates once again the worlds and the unfolding systems and orders of what creation is going to be like with the light of the infinite. So we have a voided space, an emptiness, a halal, and then we have the re-entrance of the ray of light. Now this halal represents any moment a person in their experience, any moment a person wakes up in the morning and feels empty, and feels that they don't have the kochos, they don't have the strengths in order to face today with intensity. We don't have the ability to remember ourselves positively. We don't have the ability to conceive of ourselves from a future perspective positively, and therefore we lose the ability to look at ourselves in the present moment with eyes of positivity. There might be circumstances beyond our control, things within our control that have become out of our control. It could be even the slightest hair's breadth of an issue, but in one way or another, a person wakes up up in the morning with a sudden recognition of Libi Chalal Bekirbi. Libi Chalal Bekirbi, there is an empty space within me. Dam ha'oilam nasan belivam. Oilam is melashon ha'elam, it's a concealment. Hashem has placed that concealment of the world and the emptiness upon which the world is theoretically based, is placed within our hearts. A person wakes up with a feeling of a chalal. A person wakes up with a feeling of something having died, something having fallen away, a dream, a hope, an expectation, a desire, something that I wanted my sleep to deliver, something that I wanted yesterday to deliver, an overwhelmingness in the face of what I feel today will not deliver to me. And a person wakes up with this chilul in themselves, a sense of it's very difficult to wake up and get out of bed and face the day that appears to be devoid of the animating light of godliness. This is the nature of the whole. This is the nature of the mundane week that is no longer redeemed with the time of Shabbos or Yontif or significance, but rather it appears to be an empty slate. It appears to be something that is devoid and voided of its content. Once we encounter that void, once we encounter that empty space in our lives, the next stage is to come in contact with the fundamental reality that the first and only thing I can do when I encounter emptiness is draw down more fullness, because emptiness is never meant to be simply something that remains empty. It's not meant to be celebrated as emptiness or absence. The absence and the emptiness is there because it serves as the preparatory stage for there to be a new and doubled, more intense unfolding of infinite light than we could have ever imagined possible without that preceding emptiness. Emptiness is not something that is edified or focused upon or sedimented into our spiritual identities when it's devoid of the saturation or the fullness that comes afterwards. We are a people who crave fullness. We are a people who crave moreness. Yes, that moreness reveals to us that we'll always be in a perpetual state of needing more, because the only thing that doesn't need anything more is the Ribbono Shel Olam, and Kedushas Lemalam Mikdushas Eichem. God's infinitude will always be higher than our capacity to be finite creatures. So we'll never be fully filled. But nevertheless, the tachlis of an empty space, the tachlis of the encounter with death, or all of the chilul in our lives, is simply to prepare the stage for a more intensified expression of the kav or ein sof. And we can discuss what that kav or ein sof means for many, 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 many hours. The impossibility of there being a measured light of immeasurable light, a finite expression of the infinite, a limited expression of the unlimited. These impossible terms, these paradoxical, difficult ideas that the mind cannot grasp, are all what is taking place in the Kav. But most significantly, what I want to look at is, what does it mean psychologically? Psychologically speaking, when a person encounters this halal, this chilul in their lives, the only hope that we have is for there to be a kav that is drawn back down in. And the Ramchal teaches us exactly what that kav is. The kav is from the language of kivoy. It's from a language of hope, tikva, ulay yesh tikva, perhaps there's more hope for me to transform this emptiness into a state of newfound fullness that allows me to reveal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence everywhere. The kav is just a little bit more hope, like the Baal HaTanya asking for a cup of coffee on his deathbed. When a person comes in contact with the chilul, with the halal, with the emptiness, the only thing to do is to have kivoy. The only thing to do in a pocket of yeyush is to yearn for salvation, the yeshuascha kivisi Hashem, a yearning that draws down the kav. The kav comes from a language of tikva. So now we have a very practical way of looking at this dual pulsation of encounter in the beginning of the day. There's an empty space, there's an emptiness in my life, and as a result of that emptiness, I need to yearn towards something greater and towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, towards my higher power who can come and fill and give space and shape and meaning to that seemingly empty place. But what I want to focus on is that seemingly when a person encounters an issue, what we want is an immediate gratification to that issue, something that technology and all of its expressions has really made available to us at hand, which is the immediate delivery of that which we feel is going to be the product that relieves our pain and emptiness. Now, obviously, there is no product that can reveal the pain and the emptiness of the halal, but that's something that each person has to learn on their own. But nevertheless, our first assumption, and this is one that carries itself with us in numerous areas in our lives, is that when something is missing, I need to immediately alter, I have to fix it, I have to fill it, I cannot tolerate the emptiness because I'm afraid of what the emptiness means. But what we come to realize that when we begin to look at the emptiness, when we begin to look at the halal, not as a separate stage that's separate and apart from the kav that comes back down afterwards, but rather we see it as the first step within the two-step pulsation of a singular expression. The halal is what gives birth to the kav. Without the halal, without the void, there is no kav, there is no hope. Without a hopelessness, there is no desire to draw more in. Memela, when I realize that that emptiness that I'm encountering in my life in the morning, as minimal as it might be, is there as a prerequisite to enable a further incoming of a newfound light, which will fill me with hope, expectation, and positive movement one step after another, I allow myself to tolerate the void a little bit more. Instead of being terrified of the void, like somebody who seeks perfection in life will be terrified at the face of imperfection and they'll try and fill it immediately, repress it, suppress it, whatever they need to do, because the sudden appearance of emptiness is something that disrupts my entire perception of perfectibility. But someone who's already come to terms with the fact that perfectibility is a pipe dream, and at best, we can do a little bit more in each moment and come closer to God. So then once we understand the context of the halal, as the Arizal teaches us, we can tolerate it a little bit more. We can hold that halal. And we're no longer as afraid of that halal, because we know that in the end of that day, that halal, which is the gematria of 68, is eventually going to be transformed into chayim, into life, which is also the gematria of 68. So instead of rushing to collapse that halal with some artificial fullness, we allow ourselves to pay attention to it, to be mitmodeid with it, to face it, and to allow it to prepare the field for this new incoming light. But our typical assumption is that we want the filling now and we want it to happen immediately, because any durational awareness of this emptiness is too much, which is why it's so incredible when we look at the words of the Arizal in Eitz Chaim Kadisha. He writes as follows. Rav Chaim Vital writes as follows in Heichal Aleph, in the Heichal of Adam Kadmoin, Shar Aleph, Anaf Beis, Drush, Igulim, Vyoshar, which is mamish at the beginning of the Eitz Chaim Kadisha. After discussing the nature of the halal and the creation of this empty space, which will then seek to fill itself with the hope and that kav, that light of hope that comes back down, so the Arizal writes as follows. Hine beheyos or ha'in sof nimshach b'b'chinas kav yashar b'soich ha'chalal hanal. Now, as a result of the fact that the light of the infinite that comes about by way of this ray of straight and direct light, which comes down to fill the void, loin nimshach v'nispashet tekef ad lamata. It does not suddenly emerge immediately and go down all the way down to the bottom of the halal. Amnam hayam mispashet la'at la'at. But rather, the way that it unfolded was la'at la'at, a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. And in these two words of la'at la'at, I believe that the Arizal is giving us such a profoundly significant recipe for what it means to confront that halal in our lives. When a person encounters the halal in their lives, what we have to realize is that instead of trying to fill it immediately and negate it as if it never existed and pretend that everything is in truth perfect, we have to learn how to gaze at the void of ourselves, to tolerate it, and to value the slow and steady progress that a person experiences in their spiritual life. We tend to assume that it's only immediate victories in spiritual life that are going to provide us with some sense of spiritual importance or spiritual significance. But what we have to pay attention to is that all things holy take shape slowly but surely. La'at, la'at, a little bit at a time. Kima, kima, a little bit more, a little bit more. One step at a time. The most immeasurable tiny dot of spiritual growth is worthwhile for the entire 120 years of a person's life, to move oneself ever so slightly. As Rabbi Nachman says, kol nituk v'nituk shena etak et atzmo megash miyuto, that every step, every movement, every gesture of trying to get myself unstuck from the stuckness of myself is considered as if it were worth the entirety of existence. And that even a small movement, as slim as a hair's breadth, as Rabbi Nachman describes in one of his famous stories, is something that can provide movement from one end of the world to the next end of the world. We can no longer utilize our all too human tools of quantification to value our spiritual growth. We need to engage in the process of quality. We have to begin to believe that in this tiny, irreducible spot of Avodas Hashem right now, I have everything that I could possibly need. In this second is contained a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that is true with each and every moment. And even the slightest step forward in this process of la'at la'at, I can experience min ha'olam ad ha'olam, from the beginning of creation through the trauma of creation up to and including past beyond the redemption of creation itself, exists in each and every moment in front of me. And what the Arizal is teaching us is that when it comes to confront the halal and trying to deal with that void, it has to be la'at la'at, a little bit at a time, without a rush, without bahala, without bahala, as Rav Aaron Belzer, S'chus Yogen Aleinu. The story goes that as he was sitting on the train to the death camps, he was sitting on a comfortable chair in one degree or another, and he says that Hoshana Nefesh Bahala Hoshana, that I need to be saved from Bahala Sadas, from Bihila Sadas, from Bilbul Hadas that comes about when a person is trying to rush and do everything without patience. Masinus, patience, Hamtana, as we've understood over and over, the ability to be patient with myself and with others and to value the infinitesimal points of spiritual growth, which when viewed under the microscope of the relativity principle of Kabbalah, we see that in truth they contain infinite vastness of experience. And when we can learn the secret of the Kav coming back down into the Halal, La'at La'at, we can learn the secret of hope, one moment of hope, one moment of desire, Lishuascha Kivisi Hashem. And slowly but surely we start to build ourselves up to the point that it's going to be something that we didn't even realize was being built. Bazos Yavo Aron El HaKodesh. Suddenly there's going to be that one final tiny movement that's going to transform our lives, and it's going to show that all of those small, seemingly insignificant steps of the la'at la'at were in truth the birthplace of hope, the birthplace of redemption, and our capacity to be patient with ourselves, with others, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the world, with Mashiach Tzidkenu. And in this way we can see the redemption in each and every moment, and we can taste the rectification in each and every second of our experiences, Be'ezras Hashem.
This podcast is supported in part from a grant from the Hadar Institute. The music is by Zusha. The audio engineer is David Kwan. For more from the Shefa Podcast Network, visit our Facebook page, and please subscribe and leave a review on Apple Podcasts.